Hello, and welcome to episode 56 of the Metal Chat Podcast. My name is Melissa, and I'm coming to you from Boston, Massachusetts. This episode is a chat that I had with my good friend George from the Metal Planet Podcast. We recap our heavy metal spring break a few weeks ago at Hell's Heroes in Houston, Texas. There is a little bit of audio weirdness going on. I tried to clean him up as best I could, but you will still see there's some parts where he's talking that there's some feedback, and I couldn't seem to fix it. But it doesn't distract from the body of the discussion. But before we get started, as always, I thank you for your continued support. It is much appreciated. And with that, we are on to episode 56, George and Melissa recapping Hell's Heroes. It's that time of year again, folks, where we recap Hell's Heroes. And so once again, I have enlisted my good friend George from Metal Planet Podcast.
That's me.
That's you, to come on and recap our metal weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always a great time hanging out, and it's always a fun time being on your pod as well. We had a blast at Hell's Heroes for the third year in a row.
Yeah.
And it wasn't without some hiccups, but overall, another successful festival in the books, another successful heavy metal spring break.
Absolutely. So we both got in on Wednesday. We're going to kind of go through this quick because I got in later than you. I stayed at just random hotel because I couldn't get into our hotel on Wednesday night because I didn't book Wednesday night and it was booked.
I got in pretty uneventful. I had a smooth plane ride. I think you had way more problems and delays than me, such is life. That's how it tends to go, especially when a frequent traveler like you are.
I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, really what happened was when I got to Houston, I was taking the shuttle to from the airport to where I was staying, which was just an airport hotel, an El Cheapo hotel. And there was two different flights that were canceled. And so they had to find these people hotel rooms. And so when they do that, they pick all the hotel rooms that are around the airport. So there was a bunch of people that were going to my hotel. So the airport shuttle was filled the first time, the second time, finally the third time I was able to get on. I get to the hotel, which was the Ramada, and the line was just insane to check people in. And I felt really bad because there were people with babies and it was kind of mental. They were nice enough to keep the bar open. So I slipped out of line and went and had a burger and a couple of beers. Because of that, I didn't get into my room until much later. But that was fine, actually, because I wasn't going to be able to, like, you went to a party. I wasn't going to be able to do that anyway, because I didn't get in until, like, 9 o'clock at night anyway.
Yeah, at least you got there. You didn't miss any of Thursday, because
right,
it was not like it was last year, where the first day was sort of a shorter warm-up day. No, this was like a full Thursday and a full Friday and a full Saturday, like three jam-packed days. And then the Wednesday, they had a little pre-show as well, which we didn't make it out to. It was not essential. James Rivera played with his cover band, James Rivera's Metal Extravaganza, I think. There was a lot of him at this festival, but we'll get to that. I went to a little pre-party at our friend's Airbnb. We chilled, drank, smoked, the whole pre-party game. It was a good time.
Yeah, I got to catch up and all that. So that was fun.
What the first day is for, or the pre-first day as it was.
Exactly. I mean, really, that's all even the pre-party is just people getting together and reuniting with their friends that come from all over. And that's always what it has been anyway. So Thursday, I get to the hotel and Thursday's a rainy day. So we go and get a bite to eat. We have our ponchos with us. We get in line in our ponchos. Oh, actually, we weren't wearing our ponchos, but we put them on when we were in line. And we got in without incident, and we got in pretty early.
Yeah, I would say that the line was really super long on the first day, but it was smooth sailing on the second and third. I think it's because they had to scan everyone's tickets on day one, and then on day two and three, you had your wristband, so they just waved you back in and you didn't have to go through the hassle. So I think we had to miss a little bit of Acero Letal because it just took so long to wait online.
Yes, we did, which I was kind of sad about because I really wanted to see them. I want to see all of them.
So Should we go into our top three bands of the day? Yes.
Why don't you go first?
Okay. We'll do my number three and then we'll do your number three. For my number three, I'm going to say Girl School. School played a killer set. It was heavily based in the first two albums. They did have one newer song. When I checked out their new album, the track that stood out to me the most was It Is What It Is, and that's the one new song they made time to play, so I appreciated that. I think that if they're gonna pick one, they made a good choice there. But we were there for the old school stuff, and they played a lot from the first two albums, and that made me happy too. They were very energetic. They had a good connection with the crowd, and it's their last US tour, so, you know, I couldn't miss them, and I'm glad I saw them.
Yeah, they're also my number three. I felt the same way. They're a band that I saw back in the 80s, and they always bring it, and it was great. It was great to see the old stuff and the new stuff, and it was really great to see the younger people getting into them. I really love to see, you know, your 20-somethings getting into bands that I was into in my 20-somethings. So they did a great job. They represented us old broads, and they did quite well.
They sure did, yeah. You know what? All-female bands were even less common in the 80s and 70s than they are now, I bet, because
absolutely,
rock and roll was a boys' game. And so being there in, like, that golden age as an all-female band and having that longevity to still be around today, very respectable. Well, we
right,
picked the same number three.
I know. I have a feeling we're going to be very similar.
Yeah, it's okay. I did come up with a couple honorable mentions we can
me
go
too.
Over after. All right. So my number two, Doro. Kicked ass. She played hit after hit. She's another performer that really knows how to get the crowd on her side. And this was a Warlock set. Now, Doro did decide to sneak in a couple of her own songs, Raise Your Fist in the Air and Time for Justice. These are fairly new songs. They sounded good. They fit right in with the rest of the set. They played a lot of the Warlock stuff you would have wanted them to, like All We Are, a lot of Triumph and Agony songs. That was good. Doro is a solid performer. She loves it. You can tell. I had a great time watching her.
Yeah. So another old broad bringing it, which I love. Yeah. This is actually my number two as well. There was a couple things that were a little bit weird. One was, did you notice that, like, they introduced her and then during the encore, they introduced her again?
No,
Which
I totally didn't catch
didn't
that.
understand that at all. That was really strange, but that was a little bit weird. She did that Judas Priest cover, Breaking the Law. She could have done something else. I would have actually preferred that she does something off the new album.
Breaking the Law is fun,
It
and
is fun.
I
It is
think
fun. It's a sing-along-y thing,
yeah.
and I get it. It's a crowd pleaser, and everybody knows the words, and I kind of understand that, but I kind of would have rathered a new song.
Yeah, I liked that rendition of Breaking the Law because it's fairly different than the original, but it would have been better to hear another Warlock song, honestly. I mean, they had plenty of bangers,
Oh yeah.
and
Yeah.
everyone, I don't know.
Yeah, I
Everyone
mean
knows
I
Breaking the
just
Law and they sing
Breaking
it,
Law is
and
fine. It's fine. It's fine. But it was just yeah, it could have gone with a newer song or always you can always go back to the old Warlock days, but or even o older stuff that her from the Doro band, you know what I mean? There was just I mean, obviously she's got tons of stuff, and that's why it's kind of like she had tons of her own stuff to do that she didn't really need to do a
right.
cover. So that's my only little tiny gripe.
Yep, I think that's a fair criticism to make. I agree with you. I probably would have liked to hear another Warlock song instead, but it was okay. It was still a good time.
Oh yeah, I mean it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It was outside, which was, I believe it had stopped raining at that point, if I remember
Briefly,
correctly.
yes.
Yeah, because then we got another little hiccup later on. That was my number two as well. So you're number one.
Okay, I think we might have a 3-for-3 match. I bet you know what I'm gonna pick. I have to go with Night Demon for number one.
Yeah, that's also my number one. So, just kind of goes to show.
Oh,
I mean, I think it just kind of shows how we're kindred spirits.
sure does. Well, Night Demon is totally worthy of being called number one on Thursday because they had something that was really fun. They had an all cover set. It feels like we're going to be hypocrites for saying, oh, Doro played a cover. We would have liked to hear her originals. But on the other hand, Night Demon, they went all covers, and that was just total fun. Listen, Night Demon plays a lot. They play this festival every year and they tour constantly. We got something that we didn't think we were going to get. We got not a single Night Demon song, so it came as a shock. I don't think it's any secret that we're both Night Demon fans. They're a talented band playing some real deal heavy metal and hard rock classics. Let me read the set list to you. Killers by Iron Maiden, Road Racin' by Riot, Lightning to the Nations by Diamond Head, The Sun Goes Down and Black Rose, both by Thin Lizzy, Evil Like a Knife by Midnight, featuring a guest performance from Athanar, their vocalist, Entrance by Scorpions, and Axe Crazy by Jaguar. I mean, come on, what metalhead at this festival wouldn't get excited to see a set like that?
Yeah, I mean, and you took the words right out of my mouth about the fact that you can pretty much see Night Demon all the time. They do. They play around a lot. So you do, and I'm guessing that most of the people have seen them before, either when they were out with Haunt or have seen them at this festival in past years, because like you said, they play the festival every year. So this was just a nice little treat, fun for the guys. For me, they played in trance, which I had been asking Jarvis to play this live for I don't even know how long. And he was like, nope, it's retired because we played it with Uli John Roth and we can never play it again live. Once that's happened, we can never, there's nowhere else to go with it. So we're not going to do it ever again. So when they pulled that out, I went mental, as you know. And I even reached out to our friend Nesbitt from Talking Maiden and the Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast. And I was like, hey, did you know they were going to do this? He goes, I thought they retired that song. So that for me was the clincher to make that set the number one set for me for that day.
Entrance is great. They play just a fantastic rendition of it. And really, all their covers are good because they're a talented band. Jarvis has a great voice. I think he pulled off all the songs well. The whole band did. They're all very good at what they do. So my hat's off to them. You know, they took us by surprise. They played the songs well. And I think that, again, that's why they're worthy of my favorite set of Thursday.
Yes, myself as well. I agree. And I think it was a lot of fun. You know, everybody knows those songs. And so it was a sing-along. That was great. That was just a great time. And like I said, Entrance is my favorite 70s Scorpion song anyway. They do such a great version of that song. And then to have them finally do it live for me was just, not for me, but for everybody. But I was really, really just over the moon about that. I could not have been happier.
It was great.
So okay, speaking so, of the weather, before we go into our honorable mentions, let's talk about the weather for a minute. Because we had a little
kind of screwed things up.
We had
on
a little
Thursday.
Hiccup. You want to tell everybody what happened?
Well, at about maybe 5 or 6 o'clock, they had to evacuate everyone because
speaking
there
of
was
lightning
bolt,
to the nations,
lightning to the White Oak, they had to evacuate everyone as soon as there was a lightning bolt. Whatever safety laws, they didn't let us back in until. I think they said it had to be 15 or 30 minutes without a lightning bolt.
Yeah, 30
so,
minutes.
Okay, so we all went to the bar that was next door, the Raven Tower. Yeah, at least there was some place to get a beer, so there's that. But we were waiting there for like, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes.
About 45 minutes.
To see if we were even going to get back in. They ended up letting us back in, and autopsy's set got cut short. And that was a shame. I was looking forward to them. And they only got to play like probably 20 to 25 minutes.
And the thing was, is that we had two options. You could have gone to the indoor stage or you could have gone over to the Raven's Tower. We were going to go into the stage because Destructor was playing and I wanted to see Destructor. Unfortunately, it was jam packed. So we opted for the other venue and we did miss Destructor. And unfortunately, we missed our friend Deb Levine jumping on stage and singing with them. Deb, of course, is from Lady Beast. And I saw some footage of that, and I'm really sad that we missed Destructor and that we missed that particular song in, you know, with her jumping on stage. That would have been awesome. But it was kind of like by the time we got over to that area, it was just completely packed. We had to go to we went to the other place instead.
Yeah, that's how it is. And it sucks that we missed Deb and Destructor. I would have enjoyed that. It was nice to see Deb at the festival a few times, though.
Yeah, she was standing behind us during Doro, right?
Yeah, we saw her then, and then I think I saw her a couple other times around. And something that was great about this year's fest, it was our third time going, and it feels like each year there's more and more people who stop me and say hi to me. The more you go, you start to get to know people, and you meet new people every year. Soon, you're part of the community without even realizing it. It's like a almost family reunion in some way.
We got to see a lot of people that we see every year from Metal Twitter and other podcasts and just people that we know, other bands and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, there were some people I didn't get to see. I didn't get to see the crew from Aletheia, unfortunately. I didn't run into them. There's a few other people that I didn't run into, but we did get to see everybody, which was great. And when we went over to Raven's Tower, we had an opportunity to kind of like chill out with some of these people, talk to them and have a few beers with them. So that was a really nice. It wasn't that terrible it sucked that they had to stop the show. And obviously that we ended up missing Destructor and Autopsy ended up having to cut their set short. But all in all, it wasn't a bad situation being over there, having a couple of beers and hanging out with some friends.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not just a concert. It's also a social event. People fly in from everywhere. You want to see some people that you haven't seen in a long time and might not get to see again for who even knows when.
Another year.
Yeah. Family reunion.
Absolutely. Okay, so honorable mentions.
Okay, well, definitely got to give a shout out to Hellstar. Now, this was advertised as a Nosferatu set. Turns out only 3 out of 7 of the songs were from Nosferatu. Whole set was vampire themed. There were some songs that were newer from their 2016 and 2021 albums. Hellstar is always fun. They're speedy, old school metal, and they're elevated by a really charismatic screamer in James Rivera. He's a celebrity at Hell's Heroes. He's always walking around taking pictures with everyone, with his vampire fangs. And he plays at Hell's Heroes every year. Hellstar does too. In fact, in this week of 2024, you might have seen him perform three times, but more on that on Friday.
A little bit more on that a little bit later.
I'll also give a shout out to Tanith, and Tanith wasn't on the main festival bill. They were at the after party across town at the Black Magic Social Club. That was a little bit of a hike away from the main venue, but I think it was worth it because Tanith was rocking it. They played six songs out of seven from their newest album and one old one. So if you listen to Feck and Metal, you already know I'm a huge fan of that newer Tanith album, and I got a lot of it. Band sounded tight, good vocal interplay between Cindy and Russ. I do enjoy a nice male-female dual vocals, so they delivered.
Yeah, for me, I want to shout out Candlemass. Always got to shout out Candlemass because they never disappoint. They're always great. Old school doom, what's not to like about them? But I also wanted to also mention Tanith. I wish they had played longer. I mean, I guess they don't have a lot of material, but I could have stayed there longer and listened to them longer. I really did enjoy them. I thought they were great. And that was the first time that I had ever seen them. They haven't been up my way. They have been to New York City. And that one time I was going to try to get down there and then I couldn't. I'm hoping that maybe they're going to come up this way at some point and do like a, you know, their own show.
Yeah, that would be nice. They do play locally in Brooklyn. That's their home base. They tour a little bit, not that often. You'll get to see them at some point again, I'm sure of it. And yeah, I think that their set probably could have used a little more balance between the first and second album. But again, I love the second album, so I'm not complaining.
I do too. No, it was great. Funny thing was, when we first got there, we were standing at the pretty much the front of the stage, but we were on the side of the stage. I was literally in front of a speaker. And when the show started, I said to George, I got to move. I was just getting reverb in my right ear. Like, oh my God, I can't stand here.
Yeah, and I'm the one who actually brought his earplugs for the first time. So yeah, I'm at that point in my life. I'm an earplugs guy now, but I feel like I made a good decision because we were standing next to some speakers for pretty much the whole time.
The acoustics in that place, there was kind of some reverb and stuff like that, but so it was a little bit on the loud side. But yeah, it was a great time, and yeah, we had to Uber it there and back, so it wasn't down the street, but totally worth it.
Totally. Usually those after parties have some bands that are cool, but I might not go out of my way to see them. It's late. I want to get some sleep for the next day of partying. But Tanith was the rare band that was good enough to get me to hike across town.
Midnight was playing. So there was two different after parties, and Midnight was playing at the other after party. And I, from all accounts, that was an excellent show too. But I've seen Midnight a few times. So, and I had never seen Tanith. So that was a no brainer for me.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah. Midnight's awesome, but I had to see Tanith. I had to. It was my first time as well. And I think we made the good decision. It would have been nice if we could have seen both, but life doesn't work out like that sometimes.
No. So you're going to be talking about Friday because, and I'm not going to get into a massive details about this, but I missed Friday, like all of Friday, because I went to the hospital. I'm okay. But unfortunately, you go to the emergency room and 15 hours later, you come home. I'm okay.
Your whole day was lost.
I'm okay. But my whole day was, and I kept saying, if I could just get there, you know, maybe to see like Eternal Champion and Queensryche, you know, because obviously the beginning of Friday, I wasn't going to make it, but it did not pan out that way. And it really sucked. But it was important that I went to the hospital and got myself checked out. I'm okay. It was a bummer though. But you went to our place, Pinkerton's, and had some barbecue, and then you're going to tell everybody about the show.
Yeah, Friday, I would say, out of the 3 days, was probably the day with the least amount that I wanted to see. I didn't stay for the entire show, but that's okay. I can still give you my top three. Here we go. Number three, Knight, Nite. Knight has a great mix of trad metal and the dark occult elements that are more common in extreme music. The vocals are very unique. They're low and raspy, but understandable, like something you might hear in black metal in a much cleaner and more palatable form. Knight kicked it off, and again, that's Nite. I know, they're kind of hard to look up if you don't have them in your history, They played a great set, heavy on their newer album, Voices of the Cranian Moon. They were worth getting there at the beginning for. They were a very solid opener, and I feel like they're not very much known or talked about, but they have a unique, interesting sound, and a lot of people would like them. Number two, Morbid Saint.
All right, it's been a pleasure, Hell's Heroes. That's about our time. We got one more for you. Gideon!
Morbid Saint was one of my most anticipated sets of the festival. These dudes did not disappoint. They are a relentless thrash assault, and their sound came across great live. Their newer album is one of my favorites of 2024 so far. There was someone who gave the singer a very nice gift of his own cowboy hat, and the cowboy hat had Fuck Them All written on it, which is one of the songs from their new album. They ended up introducing that song with the whole story about the hat. They closed their set with a couple from their original masterpiece from the 80s, Spectrum of Death. So there was a good balance between old and new. For the thrash fans, I think Morbid Saint really delivered the goods. Number one, Eternal Champion. They're always an entertaining watch. Eternal Champion knows how to pump up the crowd. I was feeling pretty low energy myself at this point, but Eternal Champion got me back on my feet. The singer was saying he went out for a run in the morning, and you could tell he had energy to spare. They were heavy on their new album, Ravening Iron. 6 out of the 7 songs were from that, and then they played just one old one. Personally, I like the older stuff better from Eternal Champion, but I get it. A band has to promote their newest stuff. And they played it well. I mean, they're always wearing the fun costumes. They've got chainmail on. They have a good sword and sorcery fantasy sound. They are really committed to the bit. Their set was packed. Everyone was on the lawn watching them. I think they're rightfully pretty popular. And I had a good time. So they're my number one for Friday.
Yeah, I was sad to miss them. I mean, I've seen them before, but I was looking forward to Morbid Saint as well. I've seen Entrance before. I wanted to see Stygian Crown. I wanted to see Night, Omen, Agent Steel. I wanted to check out. And then, of course, I wanted to catch Queensryche. But Queensryche are coming back around with Armored Saint. all in all, if I was going to miss one day, this probably was the better of the 3 days for me to miss, although it still sucked.
Definitely does. I'm sorry that you couldn't make it out. I would have loved to have you, and we would have had a much better time together than separate. But you know what? We made up for it on Saturday.
We certainly did. And Saturday was jam packed. And I got to meet up with my friend from Jack and Teresa from Cleveland. It was great to meet those guys finally and hang out with them in the VIP section.
Yeah, that was a pleasant surprise getting into VIP. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, that was a nice treat. We were adamant. We were both adamant about the fact that we had to get there early because we did not want to miss one single minute of early moods.
Or Traveler. Traveler right. played first.
Right. So and we wanted to make sure we were there.
They put a lot of good bands on at the beginning.
They did.
So there was no gaps, or very few of them, I would say.
And we saw, I think we saw every single band except for Attic.
Yeah, I agree. It would have been nice to check out Attic, but you have to get a good spot for Sodom. And
right.
I feel bad for them because their set overlapped with Sodom's a little bit. So for the last 20 minutes, they were probably playing to an empty room.
Yeah, that's always a bummer when that happens. I mean, it's kind of how it always is. Whoever the closing band is in the inside, they always end up kind of losing people at the end because people have to get out to the lawn to claim their spot.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, Sodom is just so legendary. Same thing last year. Like, who's gonna miss their chance to see Triptychon playing Celtic Frost? That's neither here nor there. Saturday overall this year, it was just stacked top to bottom. This was the hardest day to pick a top three because there were so many good sets, but I did pick them nonetheless. I made my decisions. Okay, well, number three for me, Early Mood. They were the most surprising gem of the festival for me. Now, I knew Early Moods and I liked them. In fact, their new album from this year, which came out at the beginning of March, A Sinner's Past, is very good, but I was not prepared for just how powerful their riffs were live. They play a brand of doom that's adjacent to classic Black Sabbath. It's entrancing. Live, they sounded heavy, very heavy. The vocals were good. You could hear everything clearly, even though the guitars were so loud. I thought that they put on a great show of classic doom.
Yeah, I have to agree. Really, 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 really looking forward to seeing them. And they did not disappoint. They were excellent. If you like Black Sabbath, you will like Early Moods. They definitely wear their love of Sabbath, early Sabbath on their sleeves, and they really did an outstanding job. I was really, really happy to see them, and I hope that they're going to come around so we can get like a full set from them, because that's the sad thing about festivals is it's basically a sampler platter. You know, you don't always get the whole set unless they're the headliner.
Right. Now, we did get a whole set of the headliner. As far as the other bands, you get maybe 30 or 40 minutes.
Right.
Maybe an hour if there's the second to last band.
Yeah, I mean, it's a taster. Which is great. I mean, because if it's a band you've never seen before, you can sort of see them and sort of decide if they're a band that you want to go see when they come to your town.
Yeah, that's true. But some bands, they're only at festivals, and this is kind of all you get from them. So when it comes to bands like that, it would be nice if they had the longer slots. It doesn't always work out like that. All right. Well, what was your number three, Melissa?
That was my number three.
We had the same number
We
three
have the same
again.
number
I'm
three. I
kidding.
think we're going to be a little bit different coming up. That was my number three as well.
Okay, well, then I got to give you my number two, and that is Cirith Ungol. There was no way I was missing Cirith Ungol. I was up front for this set and I loved every minute. Cirith is one of my favorite bands since maybe 2021. I started getting into them and I got into them heavily. I like the old stuff and I like the new stuff too. They played Sailor on the Seas of Fate, which is my favorite from the new album, and it's a contender for my favorite Cirith Ungol song, period. And of course, there's been a lot of discussion on how this is the final year on tour for Cirith, so you got to see them before they call it a day. But this was a fine way to say goodbye, even though I wish they had more than 45 minutes.
My number two is Witch Hazel.
Let's go. Now every voice. Let's go.
It was the first time that they were ever in the US, their first show in the US. And I was really looking forward to seeing them. I was very excited about seeing them because I really, really love them. I love their latest stuff. I love all of their stuff. I think they're such a great band. And I was really looking forward to seeing them. And they did not disappoint. They were so great. They were so great. The funny thing about them is they're a Christian band. And after they played to a packed house, everybody loved them. We all went to the lawn to see Rotting Christ because It's a nice segue. The yin and the yang.
Everyone Butch was Hazel talking was about excellent. How that was just the best contrast they possibly could have come up with.
It was perfect. But I feel like people stayed till the end of Witch Hazel. Like, Witch Hazel was a band that everybody really wanted to see. And because people have seen Rotting Christ before, this is the first time Witch Hazel's ever played, I think a lot of people stuck around for their entire set, which was short and sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Witch Hazel is one of my honorable mentions, and it's a big deal that we got to see their first live show in the U.S. They leaned more towards the new album from last year, which I loved, but there was a pretty good mix of songs from throughout their catalog. I left that set feeling pretty happy. They have a nice uplifting mood music.
They're a great band. You don't have to be Christian to like them. You don't have to be satanic to like Rotting Christ. You can like it. You can like both of them. But they have a great positive message. And we met the guys after. I was with my friend Jack, who was very excited about meeting them. And so we talked to the guys for a few minutes, and they were super nice guys. They were really blown away by the love that they felt from everybody at the Hell's Heroes. Everybody was so thrilled to have them there, and they felt the love. The funny thing is they have patches that they had made up that said Heaven's Heroes instead of Hell's Heroes, because, you know.
That's awesome. They were Heaven's Heroes.
Yes, they were. So they were blown away by the amount of people that were there to see them, and they were just feeling the love. So they were really happy.
Good for them. I hope they'll get to come back someday. Yep, they were my honorable mention. All right, it's time to talk about number one. I think we'll probably end up agreeing on this as well. And for me, it was Sodom.
Correct. You can't go anywhere else but Sodom.
How could I pick anyone else? This was the first Sodom live show in the U.S. in decades. The set list came from a wide variety of albums, and the whole time they sounded perfectly tight and heavy as hell. It was a full hour and a half, and it was used wisely with 19 songs, including a cover of Venom's Leave Me in Hell that worked just perfectly.
Go back a long ways with these guys, and they brought it, and everybody was just buzzed during that show. It was just heavy, and it was fun. And it was like towards the end, they said they did an encore, and then they did another encore. And they said, all right, we'll do one more song, you know? And like, nobody wanted them to leave. They could have played all night.
Yeah, they really could have. I mean, they had to get off the stage by 11 o'clock, but I think we would have stood there and watched basically as long as they felt like playing, if they could have.
Right. So that was Saturday. And that was, I mean, I thought that Sodom really wrapped up the weekend perfectly. Everybody left on a high note. Everybody left happy and satisfied that they got their medal. They're full of metal. Oh, so let's talk about honorable mentions, because I have a couple of honorable. So you talked about Witch Hazel.
Honorable for me.
One of mine is Blood Star. I've seen them
Ooh,
before.
Bloodstar is good.
But we saw them. I saw them years ago with Night Demon, like in 2016 or 2017, 2018. I don't even know. 2017, maybe. I don't know. They were a newbie band. They were very, very much a newbie band. But anyway, I like them. I think that they're a great up and coming band. I love the vocals. I think that they're just a great trad metal band. If you like Night Demon, you'll like Bloodstar. They're kind of on the same wavelength, same vein, if you will. And I'm hoping that they're going to come around again and actually do a full set, because they played a very short set.
Yeah, I would love to see more of them. They're a good band. I enjoyed their set as well. And I have another honorable mention for you. For me, Demolition Hammer was another one of the top sets, just like Morbid Saint and Forbidden. Demo Hammer is another underground band from the classic era of thrash metal. They're still alive and kicking for festival goers to enjoy. I don't think they go on a whole bunch of nationwide tours. I think they're more of a festival band. Anyway, Demolition Hammer always had an interesting sound. They had their original run in the late 80s and early 90s when thrash was getting heavier and pushing the boundary between thrash and death metal. It's easy to bang your head to their music. They're a good pick for my number five slot because they had a solid set, but there were other bands that I enjoyed more. Enjoyed Early Moods, Witch Hazel, Seareth Uncle, and Sodom the most. But that's not to say a lot of the undercard wasn't also fantastic.
I mean, I think that that's the whole thing. You know, they bring in the heavy hitters to kind of attract people who, you know the Doro and the Queensryche and the Sodom or whatnot. But don't underestimate the other smaller bands that play, whether they're smaller bands that are newer or just old school bands that haven't been around for a long time that have reunited or just, you know, never really made it big, because there's so much there. The thing about this festival is there's always so much variety. You know, we talked a little bit about the Christian versus the satanic and all that, but there is something for everybody. There's black metal, there's thrash, there's trad metal. I mean, there's doom metal. There was everything was there. Power metal. I mean, they cover every subgenre. So you can always find something that you will like. And you will be surprised to find out that something that maybe you weren't really sure if you were going to like, that they ended up blowing you away.
Totally agreed. This was the most diversified lineup that Hell's Heroes has had so far. Definitely in the years I've been there. I'm not sure about the first two, which were actually pre-COVID. And so that feels like ancient history. But yeah, you had a little bit of everything this year. Although I think trad metal is still the biggest, and I think that's what people want. You can't have just that, because it gets boring watching only one subgenre. You need to try to get a little variety. Hell's Heroes is great for that. After watching trad metal all day, I start feeling like, yeah, you know what? Hell yeah, I'll watch this black metal band. Why not? That's not normally my thing, but the variety is the spice of life.
Absolutely. You have a little bit of everything on your plate. For me, I just think it's great to be able to see bands. Like you were saying, like if black metal's not really your thing, but like you're at this festival anyway, you've already paid for the ticket. It's going to be a short set. Go check them out. You know, I mean, watch one or two songs. If you hate it, go to the bar. If you don't, then you can stay for the whole set. And maybe you walk away going, hey, maybe I'll check them out on Spotify, or, you know, maybe the next time I see that they're in my neighborhood, I might go out and check out a full set from them. Like I said, it's a great taster. It's a great smorgasbord of metal for you to taste.
Smorgasbord. I like that word.
Absolutely. And then we would be remiss to not talk about beer, because we did hit two breweries while we were there.
Yes, we did. St. Arnold on Thursday, and Sunday, the day after the festival, we hit Spindle Tap Brewery. I think Spindle Tap was my favorite of the two.
Mine too.
They had not just great beer, they had popcorn and coffee that were also high quality. What was that painkiller beer like? Was that like orange juice?
Yeah, it was like grapefruity. Yeah, they had a beer called Painkiller, so of course we had to try it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a hazy, citrusy. It was good. It was good though. I liked their
10%.
Yeah, 10. Their all of their beers had a high ABV.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why they were good.
Yeah, that's why. The other place was good. The food was good, but the beer was okay. But I liked the beer at the second place better.
Yep. St. Arnold, definitely worth a visit. Great food. And as far as Spindle Tap, they were awesome beer. Yeah. We always find some good beer in Houston.
We do. We always find good beer and good barbecue. And of course, we hit our favorite Mexican place. more than once.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not a trip to Houston without going to Cantina Barba. It's open late and it's close to the White Oak. So it's the spot to grab a taco after the show or before.
Absolutely. That's right. Before and after.
Sometimes both before and after. You're totally right about that, Melissa.
So we're awaiting the 2025 announcement.
Yeah. It feels like as soon as Hell's Heroes is done, you are already starting to wait for the next one, but we'll occupy our time with lots more good concerts this year. I'm going to tons of them. I always am. And so are you. We've got a lot on our calendars. What's next for you, Melissa?
I have Saxon and Uriah Heep. No, I have Judas Priest. Judas Priest is before Saxon and Uriah Heep.
Yep. Seeing them too.
And then we have Blind Guardian and Night Demon. And then
we're going to that one together.
Yep. And then Queensryche and Armored Saint. And you're going to that as well.
I'm trying to see them in New Haven.
And then I'm going to Glasgow to see Bruce solo. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I think I'm forgetting something, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Hey, that's already a pretty stacked spring.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few other ones I don't know if I'm going to make it to or not because I'm going to Europe and I kind of got to pay for that trip. So I can't be going nuts. Oh, I know the other one. Death.
Oh,
the
you're
Death
seeing
show.
The Death tribute. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going
to
that too, right?
To that too.
Yeah.
Yep, in New York. One of the nights is on my birthday.
That's exciting. That's a good way to spend your birthday. I'm actually only going the one night. I'm not going both nights.
Yeah. Did you get to see Death back in the day?
I did. Oh, so I'm looking
awesome.
Forward to seeing this. Yeah. So one of my peeps, she's into metal and she likes extreme metal or whatever. And her boyfriend for her birthday in February got her the tickets. She goes, he got me tickets to go see the Death show. We're going to both of the shows. So excited.
Oh,
so I love it. I know. I love it. I love to hear that. So yeah, that's what. And then there's a couple other extreme shows that I have some friends that go to those shows a lot. And they're always like, come on down. And it sort of depends on what falls, if it falls on a day that I can get out of work to pop over there. Because it's usually right near my house, not too far from my house. These shows at the Middle East. So I try to catch those. And they're usually reasonably priced, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. If you like extreme metal, it's usually not expensive. Although sometimes you end up going on off nights, but that's the nature of the beast.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this has been a great wrap up to a great time. And next year,
we'll be there again. I'm
sure.
Pencil
me in. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on, Melissa. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Before we go away, tell everybody about your new show.
All right. Well, you can find me in the podcast universe on Metal Planet. Metal Planet is a show about the friendships and connections we build, and it's all based around this genre of metal. I talk to someone different on every episode. They tell me about local bands from their city or their country. It's a good time. We listen to music, we hang out, we talk about it. First episode is about Melbourne, Australia. The second one is about London, UK. I'm just getting started, but there's plenty more in the works.
Yes, the Australian one has already dropped and I've listened to it. It's excellent. And I'm looking forward to the London show, the show about London.
I clicked upload on that a few minutes ago. So,
breaking news, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. Episode 2 is out. That's very exciting. You can find George, who has a million followers on X, right? Is it a million?
it's more than I expected it to be, honestly, but. Yeah, follow me at Risky Georgeness if you just want to listen to the podcast, don't want to hear all the other crap I talk about, at Metal Planet.
Oh, do both, guys. He's very entertaining.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll appreciate any lessons that you're willing to give me. We'll put a link to the my show.
Absolutely.
In the
episode
description.
Absolutely do that. We will link your X account. We will link your Metal Planet account. Anything else that you want to promote?
Well, that's awesome. So thank you again, Melissa.
Anytime, my friend. Anytime. And I will be talking to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.